This is Robert Martellacci, the Mindshare Learning Report, Canada's learning and technology e-magazine. I have the good fortune of having a Mindshare Learning moment with the Honorable Alan MacIsaac, Minister of Education and Early Childhood Development for the beautiful province of Prince Edward Island. Thank you for joining me this afternoon, Minister MacIsaac, for our Eastern Provinces Spotlight. Now, the notion of 21st century learning is gaining momentum across Canada. How is PEI embracing this movement?
Well, we actually had a summit here on the island back actually a couple of years before I came into the portfolio. A previous minister to me sponsored that summit, and we had a lot of teachers and, well, a lot of the partners in our educational system take part in that. And a lot of discussion there about the project-based learning and the importance of PD and working with the teachers and lifelong learning, I guess, and that was about the topic of that, and that's continuing through our system at the present time.
Fantastic. Now, the OECD PISA results this past December show Canada and PEI as top performers in literacy and math. Are you satisfied with your province's results?
Well, we could say we weren't as pleased with them as we had hoped, but we have been working the last, say, 6-7 years now, improving our system here and taking into consideration some of the things we learned at the CMEC level and in meeting with other ministers and with other teachers in the system. And there's a couple of areas which we are really keying on, and that has to do with assessments, has to do with professional development for our teachers, because we believe fully that quality teaching is really what we need. We're also looking at professional development leadership at the principal level too, because we see that as being key in our system. And those are the things that we will be keying on. Another item that comes up all the time too is our transitions program, where we're working with our grade 9s through grade 12 to make sure that when they do reach the university level, they are prepared and they don't find out too late that, hey, I should have taken another math or should have taken chemistry back in grade 10 or whatever that might be. But those are the four key areas that we're working on right now: is quality teaching, leadership at the principal level, improving our assessment program, and then our transitions for our high school.
Fantastic. Now, I understand you went through a bit of a school district amalgamation process this past year?
About a year ago or so, yes. We actually started in January of 13. We amalgamated our boards down. We have one English board and one French board now, and we brought all the English from tip to tip under one set of trustees. And that transition has worked out really well, and our trustees are meeting on a regular basis. Of course, our province is a little smaller in size. I know they went through the same in Newfoundland, and they have one school board over there.
Right.
Some of our other maritime provinces have decreased their number of boards as well, but in our province, it has gone well so far, and quite pleased the way it has worked out.
Fantastic. Now, in terms of innovating and dealing with declining enrollment, I know that's a challenge with a lot of districts across the country. How are you grappling with that?
We have been looking at, and we closed some of our smaller schools several years ago, and that was a bit of a painful process to go through, but one that was inevitable, we thought. We've also looked at our numbers of teachers that we have in our system and the number of students we have, and we looked at how we could possibly, and actually what we did is when we had some retirements from the system, we did not fill all those positions. We could source some money there to put into our system, like through interventions and that, and try to spend our dollars the most wise way possible. I know people will say, well, how can you take teachers out of the system? And I know to some degree that looks a little strange, but what we're looking at here is quality of teaching. More teaching does not necessarily mean better teaching.
Right.
But the quality of teaching is really what we're trying to key on, and using our dollars, the dollars that we do have for our educational system, to use them in the most effective and efficient manner.
Very good. And this past year, you upgraded your schools with technology such as smart board and LCD projectors. How are teachers embracing the new learning tools?
Well, we've been doing that over the last few years, and actually we put a new highway, you might say, for our technology right from tip to tip. The technology for the teachers, those who have, of course, I should say, I don't want to knock the older teachers, but some of the younger teachers in our system are much more adept with the smart boards and stuff, and we need to do more training with some of our older teachers in the system and make sure that all the technology we have in the classroom is actually utilized to the full. And but I mean, technology is here and it's going to change, and we're going to get more of it as time goes by, but we may make sure that investments we make in that area are used to the full, and our teachers are embracing that, and our teachers, our students, are embracing it fully as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. PD is always a challenge, and we did our second annual National EdTech Survey, and, you know, teachers want more technology, but it's just a matter of shifting it around because it's not always fully utilized.
Yeah, but there is some fantastic, I've been into some classrooms where some of the teachers are using the smart boards and the iPads in conjunction with that, and the students are just lapping it up, and it's a great way of learning. The technology is only a tool, it's not the end, that's for sure.
Absolutely.
But if we can use it to its full, it's certainly going to be a benefit to students, to the teachers, and to the whole educational system.
Fantastic. Now, is BYOD also gaining momentum? Is that something that you guys subscribe to?
That has been discussed, and actually when I was at the Education World Forum in England there a week ago, there was some discussion on that too. And again, the focus was, it's not just bring your own device, it's a matter of getting the technology used properly. You don't solve all your issues with just because everyone has a piece of technology. The technology is just a tool, and if we can get the quality of teaching aligned with the technology, we'll have a lot better system, that's for sure.
Now, are the university, is that aligned, the Faculty of Education? Because they have a role to play, too, in ensuring teachers are equipped with the skill set to utilize the technology in your schools, because I know it's not consistent across the country.
No, and I know a lot of our student teachers and teachers that are coming out of the system right now are quite fully aware of the technology and how to use it fully. One of the things we're focusing on there, working with the university here at Prince Edward Island, is to try and make sure that, first and foremost, though, that when our teachers come out, we need them to be able to teach math and literacy, and those have to be key. And we did a little survey of our teachers from grade K to 9 just to see how many people, our teachers, actually came through like the science program, or we found out a lot of them came through the arts degree program and perhaps did not have the basis in math. Some of them, I don't know if any, had a major in math. There were some that had a minor in math, some with a business background and things like that.
Right.
But we really need to focus at the university level and the teacher training level to make sure that teachers are well aware and ready to teach math and to teach literacy when they come into our schools.
Yes, absolutely. Well, congratulations on your soon-to-be new role as incoming chair of the Council of Ministers of Education for Canada.
Looking forward, and there, at the present time, enjoying working with Mr. Jeff Johnson out of Alberta. The CMEC, or the Council of Ministers of Education Canada, is a great opportunity for the ministers right across our country to come together. As you know, we have no federal minister of education per se,
right.
So this is the opportunity where a national body comes together with representatives from all those ministers, whether they be K-12 or whether they be the higher learning sector with universities, colleges, and the trades. But to come together and just have a discussion and brainstorm and to some degree steal some of the ideas perhaps the other provinces have, using the best practices that other provinces have for perhaps delivering math or whatever it might be, in technology, Aboriginal education, all these topics that we discuss at that table that, you know, we would not normally have the opportunity to do so otherwise. So I see the CMEC table and even the CADMET, the Atlantic ministers level, where we met last week in Fredericton, such an opportunity for ministers to come together and look and discuss what's happening in their provinces and what some other provinces may find areas of concern that perhaps another minister may have dealt with, gone on just in the past year or so. So we can brainstorm and discuss those ideas, and it's just there's a wealth of knowledge out there and quite an experience. And I really look forward to the opportunity to be the vice chair, and if I have the opportunity down the road to take my turn in the chair. So
fantastic. And now, you were recently in England for meetings around the BET conference, and you had an international symposium you attended?
Yes, it was the Education World Forum. It's held on a yearly basis in London, England. We had somewhere around 100 ministers of education from around the world, and we had the opportunity to, through plenary sessions and ministerial discussion sessions, to discuss internationally what is happening. And we discussed technology, we discussed Aboriginal education, we discussed a lot of different topics. But again, it seemed to always come back to the key points, just like we're dealing with here in the island. It's leadership, it's quality education and assessments. A lot of time was spent on the assessments, because we really see that changes are made and improvements are made when we really know exactly what is happening out there in our system. And through the assessments, we can see where things are working well and perhaps where other interventions may need to be made. And through watching the results of these assessments and looking at our own budgets and stuff, we have to put our dollars in the area that will improve education. And numeracy and literacy are key points, and we're all striving for student achievement, and we have to do that as effectively and efficiently as possible.
Absolutely, and it speaks to the notion of big data and having the tools at your fingertips to know where students are, or for the principals to see the progressions that the school, the teachers are making around that, you know, data-driven decision-making.
And it's a buy-in from all partners on it. Parents have a major role in this, as well as the teachers and the students and the community. I mean, it is to the whole school system. I think we have to look at that. It's a partnership with a group of different players, but every one of them plays an important role, and they all have to buy into this because our children need the best education possible, and it's so, so important. Anyone who goes on to be a lawyer or a doctor or a Red Seals mechanic or whatever has to go through the K-12 system, and it's so key that we do such a good job in the formative years, especially of the education process, that we all have to buy into this and play a role in it.
Well, that's a good segue into my next question, because, you know, the future is about having a well-educated workforce, and that's what many states and provinces focus on. And as a country, innovation and having a well-educated workforce is critical. And then, you know, we're talking about now looking at the skills gap conversation across Canada, which has very much been in the media, and the notion of jobs without people and people without jobs is somewhat concerning, and particularly around youth employment. How can we nurture and support children for the future jobs that really we don't know, some of which don't really exist today?
Well, I think it was just interesting at the symposium in England, I think it was the minister from Japan was saying that 70% of the jobs in Japan, they can't find workers for them, and yet at the same time, there's university grads there that go unemployed. And so it's not just in our area, it's found around the world. In Africa, they were talking about the fact that there's such a great need for teachers. They need to train upwards of 100,000 teachers there. And here on the island, and in Canada, we train more teachers than we actually have jobs for, and we question that. So there's an imbalance there for sure. But I think the skills gap thing, and some people say, is it really a skills gap or is it just jobs gap? We have people in the east here that quite possibly could be having jobs in the west, and yet at the same time, we see that we have to take immigrant workers into our province and in other provinces too to fill jobs that we can't.
Right.
Place people in. But I think that goes back to the program of transitions that we're looking at with our high school students, that hey, let's look 4 years down the road. Don't just wait until you're in grade 11 or grade 12 to say, what do I have an interest in? What do I want to make my career doing? And do I have the right training going through the high school process? And at the end of grade 12, when I graduate, will I have an idea of what financial needs I have, what courses I may need if I want to go into nursing or I want to go into a Red Seal mechanic or whatever that might be? We can't just leave it till the last minute and just use a carte blanche or a regular old high school graduation. We have to make sure that every student that can find out what their needs are and train them accordingly and not just waste those high school years and just get a bland, I should say, high school graduation certificate.
Right.
It's just a stepping stone to the future.
Well,
and we have to make sure that we look at it that way, that we have our students ready and prepared for that next step upon graduation from the high school.
Well, I can agree with you more as a parent of twin boys in high school. So we're constantly trying to keep them focused, and I think they're doing a pretty good job. But you're absolutely right.
There are lots of distractions out there for them, but it's a matter, like I say, of the whole team buying into it, the parents, the teachers, principals, the whole works. But they're such a valuable asset, our children, and we have to do our part to help them be prepared.
Well, thank you so much for that and for your leadership in the province. You're doing excellent work, and it's clear that you're an inspiration to many educators and leaders. And you know, there's leadership within all of us to do things effectively. Well, thank you so much for your time again this afternoon, Minister Kaizek. Before I wrap up, I need to ask you, as I ask all my interview guests, what is your favorite technology that you can't do without?
You know what? I still think the greatest invention in the world is a phone. Because I have this little phone strapped to my waist right now, but the fact that you can text, you can phone, I mean, it's just a part of me now.
Yes.
And actually, my background is in agriculture, and I milk cows for 30 years, and we we had all kinds of technology on the farm, but still, all along, I think that little cell phone, and that there's so many things you can do that on that at the present time. I know I have a desktop and I have an iPad and everything, but
right.
That little phone that I use on a regular basis for everything, I call it my brain in a box, and it's just, like I say, it's a part of me, so that's...
Very good.
Yeah.
Do you have any final thoughts to share?
No, I really appreciate the phone call, and I think education is such a major role in all our lives. I just think and would like to encourage everybody to buy into this. It is a partnership education. It's not just left at the teacher level or the principal level or the department level or the school board level. It is a partnership, and we need everyone involved.
Well, I truly enjoyed this conversation and appreciate your philosophy. And thank you so much again for your time this afternoon, Minister McIsaac. That was the Honorable Alan McIsaac, Minister of Education and Early Child Development for the province of Prince Edward Island. My name is Robert Merlacci, the Mindshare Learning Report. Be sure to check out mindsharelearning.ca to get your complimentary copy of the Mindshare Learning Report. And until next time, keep the learning curve steep.